we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. What are we doing on this show?
We're talking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, I don't think I do a show on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, wrong number.
Okay, I do a lot of shows, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I have other co-hosts, ones that I like.
Were you on a program?
All right, let's talk some wrestling.
Let's talk some wrestling, Mo.
All filler, all killer, no filler. Here we go. Your topic.
Okay, well, let's start off with the, I don't know if it's the biggest news.
Is that the most awkward opening ever?
Could have been.
Yeah. Could have been.
Yeah, way to go.
My opening, no, actually, I've seen you try and pick up girls in the bar, and your opening is often more awkward than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen you try to pick up girls in the bar.
No?
No.
I. You should see me try and pick up girls in the bar when they have a lot of wheat.
I agree, I should.
Fucking let's talk some wrestling.
Let us talk some professional wrestling. Now, let's know, let's start off with the biggest news story of the week. I think it was there was a lot of news. Let's start off with Monday Night Raw. We'll just start from the beginning,
okay.
I guess, and work our way through. Monday Night Raw. What did you think about the show overall, I guess, and then we'll hit some of the points on there.
The show overall, I was kind of bored. To be honest with you, I didn't find it to be the most exciting episode.
Really?
I just, I didn't think it had the same momentum as some of the other episodes have recently.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the episode before, which was so great. I'm so turned off by the writers, by the lack of wheat, I don't like what they've done with CM Punk. I didn't like what they did with Ray. So, the show didn't work for me. I think the show is already feels to me like its momentum is on a downward swing.
Well, you know, I could see that. To me, that this show just kind of plateaued. The one thing that I did like was it did seem like they forwarded a lot of things. You know, when you look at...
I'll agree with that, but I'm not so sure as I look at how they forwarded it that I like the direction they're forwarding it.
Well, I don't know, and that's to me is sort of the really the speculatory part at this point is we don't know precisely where they're going. I have fears though. That's the biggest way to put it is that, you know, when we talk to, we keep using this over and over, the faith we have in the company and how that's kind of dwindling. Right now, they're at a point where they haven't really been able to capture that lightning in a bottle with Punk. They had that angle, but they didn't follow up with it. And, I mean, that said, what it really looks to be now to me is... the building process, and that's how I'm sort of looking at it. I mean, I last week I had an opportunity to watch an episode of 1997 Raw with with the Bret Hart and Stone Cold. And
well, we watched an episode right after we watched an episode together
mm-hmm.
of the first episode right at the night after that WrestleMania 13 match between Austin and Brett, right?
And Brett, yeah, and Austin wasn't on that show.
No.
And I watched an episode after you'd left, from about a month later or so, where Austin was on the show. And Austin didn't get that Stone Cold Steve Austin reaction. Because it was a new development that he had gone babyface, and it was still a work in progress.
Yeah, and he didn't completely change his character either. He's still pretty, you know.
Well, that's right. It's something that worked. And that's kind of, I mean, everybody's throwing out the Punk-Austin comparisons. But it is something that I always like to sort of remind myself of that and go back and watch some of those old things. Because as much as we watch with rose-colored glasses the Attitude Era, you know, it wasn't all, great. And it wasn't always the perfect storm.
No,
and
they could admit it.
Naked Midian was great. but when I look, I see that, at least that, I mean, when I looked and saw Austin's mixed reaction, that's a lot what Punk is getting now. And so it's not too late, but as then we'll get to, as the Money in the Bank buy rate has come out and sort of stipulated, I guess, you know, this isn't, you know, this isn't the angle that will turn the company around to say that this will make wrestling, as Punk keeps saying, I want to make wrestling
cool. It's going to take more than one thing.
It's going to take a whole series of, well, you know, a year, 2 years of solid things to take to turn it around.
Yeah, so it won't turn around.
It's very doubtful, and that's, you know, but that but the thing is they can be handed these things, and it's a matter of recently they've done a better job of taking advantage of these things than they had in past. But
okay.
You know, it's still a work in progress. So my faith dwindles because again they've got a recent track record of not taking advantage of this stuff. I still am not. I'm on the fence. I guess I could go either way with it right now, and I'm in wait and see mode.
Well, okay, I was asking people on Twitter, approximately, kind of giving me some sort of feedback on where their level of interest in SummerSlam was, and most people are going right now, 1 week out, 1 week from today,
yeah.
About 4 or 5 out of 10,
yeah.
And that's where I am. I'm a 5 out of 10.
And we were both 5 out of 10, yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah, so I mean, that to me is an utter fail because coming out of Money in the Bank, my interest in watching Raw the next night was an 11 out of 10, right? So what I'm saying is that they have quickly managed to find a way to lose the momentum on this. Now, we're talking about how they could still turn it around and Austin wasn't getting the reaction we remember he was immediately after his babyface turn. There's a few differences. Austin didn't pander the crowd the way CM Punk did on Monday.
Well, yeah,
and,
let's not look at and that's the comparisons. Where I want the comparison to end is in the fact that this is a heel who's cut a promo that they are turning babyface.
Okay.
Okay. And
okay.
And so like
I'm
when we talk
say,
about
I'm
Austin
say
never.
Things. He didn't pander to the crowd.
Fine.
Punk was pandering to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That was no good. Okay. Number two. This character who's the voice of the voiceless, who came out and spoke all that truth, that's why the fans that want something to believed in him, came back right away and he lied to us like everybody else. That's it. The character has lost momentum.
Well, but how are you going to...
He moved, don't get me wrong, he's the only one on, him and Triple H were the only ones on Monday night that moved the ratings. You look at the ratings pattern, nobody else did it. Nobody else was moving the ratings on that night. But that doesn't matter. The point is the long-term damage, just the way that they've done this, getting him on SummerSlam. I'm not saying – I don't know if there was a way to get him on SummerSlam and not ruin that. But the way they did it was not the right way.
Okay, well, who moved the viewing on the tube sites?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. But, no, it's, I mean, they did further – it's still – it's a bit cloudy, the Punk – Hunter, you know, dynamic, I guess.
Didn't work well.
The best thing that they could do is...
It did not work well, though.
Well, the problem I had was with some of the material. You know, gotta ask your wife. Well, you know what, been there. And even Hunter then, you know, kind of killed it when Josh Matthews interviewed him. And he said, oh, my wife. That's original. I've been hearing
that CM Punk even CM Punk even killed. Number one, Hunter was getting the better baby face reaction of the two of them. That's the problem with interacting with Hunter is he's just taken over and he's a strong baby face. This isn't Vince McMahon you're playing off of if you want Punk face. Number two, when Punk goes backstage, he said, I was just testing him back there. Me and Hunter are going to be fine. He also, everything that just happened then was rendered meaningless by that one line to me. I don't like where they're going with it.
I took that line sarcastically.
I didn't.
I took it sarcastically. But
plus
I mean,
there was the stuff. Plus, there was also the stuff where he's sitting there going, "I can't make change or facilitate change if I'm at home. I facilitated some change, and so did you, the WWE Universe or whatever the fuck he called them, you, the fans or whatever, pandering to the crowd, John Cena like. So now you got a guy who said I'm going to leave, and he came right back like everybody else. Now you got a guy who's pandering to the crowd like everybody else. Now you got a guy who's got this awkward exchange with this strong baby face. I'm telling you, they have failed to maximize Punk this week. Now, like you say, they can turn it around. But right now, the character went from being at a full throttle to being about two-thirds.
Well, the Jets cooled on him.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is why I when I was listening to that promo between him and Triple H, it felt to me like no longer it was what he would say. It felt to me like it was what the writers would tell him to say, even if they only gave him Cole's notes. Like, he didn't have the same level of creative control he had the previous week.
Michael Cole has notes?
Yes. He reads them in front of the computer because the computer isn't on.
May I have your attention? Anyway, yeah. When it comes to CM Punk, I think, as you said, the character is cooled. Again, it's we're 1 week. I mean, I thought the strange thing about that interaction to me is, I mean, I thought Punk did a good job of explaining why he
his
came
back. His delivery is good, because his delivery is good.
But the explanation,
you know what,
okay, that's fine.
The explanation's fine, but the explanation's not strong enough.
I thought it was fine. I thought where it killed the explanation to me, what killed the explanation to me was the fact that Hunter come out and told a totally different story.
Yeah, that didn't help either.
The story was totally different, and I'm going, well, Punk just said he was sitting at home, and he called Hunter, and blah, 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 and then Hunter gets out there, and Hunter says, well, I had this, Punk wasn't returning my calls, and I sent a contract, and he just showed up at the last minute and handed me this contract, and that was the first thing that I, you know, play my music, and blah, 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 and I'm going, okay, well, that's not what Punk said, and in no way did they even...
Plus, how the hell did they have that music then?
Well, there's that. I mean, that's fine. You can put that aside. But I mean, to me, nobody explained why the stories were different, and I don't understand how, like, that's WCW-ish.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how does that get through? That, you know, when
I don't know,
because you're doing 17 different rewrites the day of.
Yeah.
And everybody's got their lines. Like, it just to me it seemed dumb.
Yeah.
They were coming off and saying, because to me, I immediately went, well, that's not what Punk said. What the fuck are you talking about? And then nobody, like, to me, the announcers, that's why they're there, is to say...
Yeah, but they don't know what's going on. This is why having Vince in that announcer seat did work, because Vince could have, you know, Vince would have known what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The announcers are too busy. Michael Cole's too busy trying to be the heel who's disrupting JR, and JR doesn't know what's going on because nobody wants to fill him in right now.
Yeah.
And Lawler doesn't give a fuck.
Well, Lawler,
he never
Lawler's
has.
Just
he
doesn't, there.
You know, so. he doesn't even know how half the roster is. You know.
No, exactly. He's got his pictures there for when the SmackDown guys show up. But I mean, the thing is, yeah, like that. But that was the problem that I had with it. And then that, you couple that with the way that it ended by them saying he was saying, you know, Hunter, somebody, your wife, and then. You know, and then he goes, pipe bomb, and he drops the thing. And I'm going, like, that's the most inside thing you've said yet. Was it Hunter,
yeah.
You know, insinuating Hunter and his wife? Because, like, that's played out. You know, that would have been...
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
And when did they get... How long ago did they get married? You know, I mean, a couple years after when they... If they'd mentioned it, that would have been really, you know... That would have been... You know, kind of funny. I think I remember a DX versus the McMahons thing, and Hunter even, you know, waved and went, hi, Steph, like all, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course,
And, you know, and that was kind of, you know, that was cutesy. And I remember kind of smiling and chuckling and going, okay, that was kind of neat. But, you know, that was years ago. So
yeah.
If you're going to bring up, I mean, yeah, that killed it for me is bringing up the wife because it's like, fuck, okay, really?
Yeah. So. Well, that's the other thing is it's kind of like it's, one side is inside. On the other side, though, it never has been stated during this particular run that that's how he got the job. It's just the family agrees. You know, it's never been, I married, he does say, Vince did say his son-in-law.
My son-in-law.
But it never really, no protracted explanation has come forth.
Well, but you don't need
it.
I mean, you don't
need
it.
Well, that's the thing. Do you or do, you don't, we don't need it, but don't tell me that as a 10-year-old kid in the audience who doesn't need it.
There are some, but I think that's a pretty much,
as I point to the audience in the palatial Golden Crusted Studios of House Audience, I point to the audience looking at us.
Well, the
you
thing,
know, who's not there.
The thing is
Big Attic.
So it's like a TNA show. But
yeah, 12 people are here,
point at the audience,
and they're not really
there.
Paying attention.
But the thing is, to me, what I like in this, too, is Hunter being married to Stephanie is the current equivalent of, in the 80s, Vince McMahon owns the WWF.
Okay, yeah, that's a good explanation.
Enough
that.
People know, but, you know, and it's, you know, that's the big thing for the casual. You know, Vince McMahon owns it all, and, like, that was, like, that's the way the casual fan would sound smart,
but
is going,
is,
you know, Vince owns
it all. But it is a part of a bigger issue. It's like, okay, let's talk about Johnny Asshole. Johnny Ace comes out there, and he takes John Laurinaitis, takes the microphone, and he goes, picks it up, and his first words, of course you all know me, John Laurinaitis. No, we don't. No, we don't. You're the stooge. But I don't even know that his name had been said by anybody, said by Vince, really anybody.
Hey,
some of us know you,
stooge,
but you cannot.
Apologize for that.
I'm sorry.
Calling him a stooge.
Okay, so he's not a stooge. He's a dork. He's an asshole.
He's a
douche. Whatever you want to call him. The fact is, that's the first words out of his mouth. You all know me. We don't. How about let me introduce myself for those of you not without the pleasure of knowing who I am? How about that as a line? Because you've got that Russo, everybody's on the internet, everybody knows all this inside bullshit mentality going on. And if you're going to go into this reality era, you got to be real careful on this. And you got to have a handle on how to do this.
Really?
And I don't see that right now.
Well, you know, I mean, to me, the bigger one was, you know, but he did introduce himself. You know, and he said, you know, job I took from Jim Ross, you know, just to get the JR dig in there. And it just,
and I do it better than JR, which means
Johnny
the JR was forever.
He was Johnny Ass. I mean, Johnny Ass was never a promo. You know,
no.
Now that's why he spent most of
Johnny
his time
was
in Japan.
No, he was a dick sucker. That's all.
Yes, and he spent most of his wrestling career in Japan because, you know, he didn't have to cut promos, right? Or
no one
would know he couldn't because he was speaking English. But the thing is he come out, he got the TV, and then Cena. My problem was Cena.
Let me tell you something that's funny, like just as an aside before we go any forward. Some of the best promos I've ever seen was American wrestlers in English cutting promos in Japan.
Yeah.
Terry Funk, Mick Foley, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen. Incredible stuff. So,
Albert.
Anyway, go on. C.H. Smith.
Yeah, Chuck Palumbo. But I think that my problem was Cena when he come out and, you know, got a skateboard and then he did Johnny Ass catchphrase from like a small time independent group or something to start television in like the 80s or some bullshit, and it was just like, you know what?
I didn't even pick that up. And if I don't pick it up, and very few people are a hardcore fan than me.
I heard Meltzer said that, and I was going, oh, I didn't know that that's what he was doing. I honestly thought Cena was trying to get over a new catchphrase that sucked.
Yeah.
But
that sucked. Well, maybe the catchphrase is great, the delivery sucked.
But the whole thing was, I mean, that's where we're talking about faith, is because, as I said, it kind of stalled out here, but there was enough things that I was able to nitpick. You know, like Cena going, Hunter, what, you're going to strip me of this title just because CM Punk beat me once? For the title? Yeah. That's how this fucking thing works.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? Was it a 2 out of 3? Like, what?
It makes no sense.
It made absolutely no sense. So, and then he's going, no, hold on, John. Your claim to the title is legitimate. I'm like, how? How is
his claim
to the title legitimate? And that's the part where you can get in with, a lot of people compare Punk to Stone Cold. I mean, if I'm Punk, I'm playing the Bret Hart role here.
Yeah.
And because he's right. You know, and he can continue to.
But this is another issue, though. I mean, you got Punk, who's now a babyface, Hunter, who's a babyface, and Cena, who's a babyface. You could have 2 out of 3 of them be a babyface. You can't have all three. Mm-hmm. The dynamic just doesn't work.
Dynamic dudes. But the thing is, I mean,
which didn't work.
Well, to me, that was, I think, the reason that they threw ass in there, is because they figured out they needed a heel. And Johnny Ass does make a very good heel. When you talk about Vince McMahon, like, he is in that Vince McMahon role where he's an unlikable douche. And so if you're going to have that, but then, again, you've got Hunter, you're right. I mean, you've got all these baby faces. And the problem that I have with it, and then they're going to do the title unification at the Summerfest, is that, I mean, I just... Alberto Del Rio.
Thank you, Jeremy Piven.
Alberto Del Rio is cashing in and leaving with the belt.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's where I'm at with
that. For me, my issue. Well, yeah. Which I think you just do that anyways and give him the belt without getting Punk there. Is my point. Punk shouldn't be back because I would say if you're going to have that rematch, you make me wait for it. You make me beg for it. You make me beg, and you don't give it to me. And then finally, when Punk comes out and that rematch is on, pop, business, I'm excited, everything.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to see this. I don't care how great the match was before. I'm like, oh, whatever. Punk versus Cena, snore. I'm just not into it.
No, I'm not either. And it's one of those that, I mean, to me again, Albert, it would make sense.
Punk shouldn't be back.
Well, no, and it's so easy. It's so easy to do it without Punk. And that's the part, like, you know, okay, well, they've got no choice because they needed Punk on the SummerSlam. And it's like, well, no. It's in L.A., so Rey Mysterio won the fucking title tournament, okay? John Cena gets a rematch from his rematch clause, right? So you have Cena versus Mysterio, okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who wins that. Alberto goes in, cashes in the fucking money in the bank, okay? And
sure.
It gets the title. Meanwhile, you have the true champion, CM Punk, still sitting on the sidelines. And you've got a
not
heel.
Only that. Not only that.
You've got a heel Alberto Del Rio, though, for when Punk to come back to face so that it's clear-cut good guy, bad guy. People will cheer Punk
either that,
Del Rio.
Or people would want to see the rematch after months of it being built up and waiting for it between him and Cena. It wouldn't matter. Regardless, the point is that if you have Punk sitting there the whole time talking about how he's the real champ, trying to get him on social media and trying to get him on real television, and then all of a sudden at the end of SummerSlam, from the crowd, out walks the guy standing in the crowd with the real belt, the people's champ, doesn't matter if it's Del Rio or Cena, whoever it is, even if that match isn't for the next month, even if it's just a reminder, the real champ is here.
Mm-hmm.
The people's champ is here. That's all you need to do. And then, again, make them wait. I'm going to get it. I'm not going to get it. Fuck, I want to see it.
Mm.
That's what you want to do.
Well,
This is the whole point is this is a simulated fight, and you want to make the people see the fight because you want to make them believe something important is going to happen from it, that something matters from it. You build that interest and that idea. That's the work, and that's what they're not doing.
No. And, I mean, and that's where you get to be, you know, Sting, right? Is that he just comes out in the crowd and he holds the
belt. Yeah, exactly. We talk about Sting just being in the crowd. We talk about Austin not really wrestling. Even if Punk just came out and laid somebody else out, even if at the end of the night, out of the audience, Punk comes out and lays out Del Rio or even fucking Johnny Ass, if Johnny Ass is handing Del Rio the belt.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at the end of SummerSlam. As long as it just has to be that they just... I don't know, man.
And that could very well be where we're going to, because right now you've got Cena versus Ass and Punk versus Hunter.
Is Punk a bigger star than he was? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Punk right now going to turn around business?
No.
I no longer have that sense.
No, he's not.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Is he no longer going to turn around business? I mean, that's the thing. They had that opportunity and... it's not gone. It's not gone. It's just when we're talking about how we would do things, and now that Punk is here, it really, I don't want to say it ruins things now that Punk is here, but the fact is Punk could be back, but now what you're doing is you're unifying the title. So as Punk even said, it's the same old, same old. And unfortunately now Punk is part of that same old, right?
That's it. You just nailed it. That's what I've been trying to say. Yeah, perfect. He's now part of that same old, same old.
Yeah.
He is.
And because the belt is just going to get amalgamated with the other belt, you know, whatever, that is temporary, this interim belt.
And at the end of the day, it's not going to matter because at the end of the day, probably Cena's going to have it.
Well, I think at the end of the day,
and even if he
Del Rio
doesn't, even if he doesn't, Cena will have it soon. Even if Del Rio gets it, Cena's getting it soon. It doesn't matter.
Well, I think they do want Del Rio to have it for the Mexico trip, right? So,
okay.
But, I mean,
I think they do want Cena to have it for Mania.
I think Cena wins it at Survivor Series because that's where the Rock's going to be, right? So
exactly.
You end the Survivor Series with Cena winning the belt, and then out comes The Rock.
Yeah.
And that's where you have the belt. He holds the belt up while they do the stare down, and there's all your pictures for your Mania videos and shit, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's easy enough to do, but it's just, and that means I have to watch Cena with the belt for several more months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before. We talk about how it's going to take a series of things to. We talked about before how it's going to take a while to get business turned around.
Yeah.
We talked before about how, I've said before, when the business is really going to be strong, they're going to be not doing multiple main event rematches in a row, but also they're going to, if they can do a show where they don't have an actual title defended and still do a strong buy rate, that's when you're doing well. If you can do a show where a U.S. title is the main event and do a strong buy rate, that's when the business is doing well. They've never done this, but then again, we've never been in this era, and that's what UFC has managed to do, right? So that is the new era, is understanding how to build up divisions and prestige and importance of the outcomes for pay-per-views. You don't have to do it for television so much, but the outcomes of the pay-per-views, the importance has to be greater, and this is what they failed to do. And this is, like I say, when Punk comes back this early after saying he's going to leave with the belt, then all of a sudden that pay-per-view didn't matter that much. The fact that Rock screwed Cena, and then 1 month later he gets the belt from Miz anyways at WrestleMania, means that that pay-per-view didn't matter that much. The pay-per-view main event, all of this comes back to everything they do at the end of the day takes away from the importance of even matches which seem important at the moment, and that means that I don't care if I see them or don't see them. I don't think we're even watching – we're not watching Hardcore Justice Live tonight. I don't believe we're going to be watching SummerSlam live next Sunday. If possibly, there's a chance that we won't have the opportunity due to our schedule. And I'm not feeling like it's a huge loss.
Yeah, it might be a little. I mean, well, Hardcore Justice. I don't know that I don't know that I'll watch it all, to be quite honest.
I may not.
And SummerSlam.
I'm going to be watching the UFC from last night instead. I know that.
What?
I have that on my DVR. I have that ready to watch. I don't know the results yet. I'll be watching last night's UFC.
Chad Money Mendez with a Swanton bomb.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Not a really boring fight, but it had a Swanton, so it was great. But
right now, if I miss SummerSlam next week and just see it later or don't even see it at all, I don't feel like that's a huge loss.
Well, I mean, if we didn't do this show, we got to do this for the show. We got to watch the Summerfest to talk about because it's part of the show.
Yeah, we may not have to talk live though. It doesn't look like I'm talking.
No, we'll be a couple hours delayed on it, I think. So I mean, it's one of those things that I can still order, put on my DVR. But I mean, it's not anything that I have to rush home to see, like I did with Money in the Bank, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. You're right. It's at that level. I mean, it looks to be a somewhat solid card they're building.
The funniest thing is the match that I want to see the most is Sheamus versus Mark Henry.
Yeah.
That has my greatest interest.
Yeah. We were talking about Monday Night Raw.
How long have we gone on that opening segment?
We're half an hour, so we're as long as the opening segment, basically.
Yeah, basically. Okay, let's quickly run down the rest of Raw and everything that happened. And
Beth Phoenix wins the Battle
Royal.
Unless
you want to try and beat our record 2.5-hour show last week.
Just to get warmed up, yeah. But Beth Phoenix wins the Battle Royal, turns heel on Kelly, saying the days of the pretty divas are over. And, of course, Melina and Gail Kim, the first two eliminated within, 15 seconds . Now we'll probably never be in a battle royal again, or at least for a long
time. Or at least one of them. Actually, both. I'm not sure either one of them will ever be in a battle royal again. We'll see.
You never say never, but
never say never. Melina could see Melina ending up in in TNA. She's the exact type of person that TNA would bring in, that Impact Wrestling would bring in.
Both of them.
I don't think Gail.
Yeah.
I don't think Gail.
Of course Gail.
I don't.
Why not?
Because she's marrying an extremely rich celebrity chef.
Oh, I see. You're saying she didn't want... Okay. If she wanted to, though, they would take her in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. But I don't think she would be going back.
They were
going to
match the
money,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't think that's it.
Was going to match the money when she left the first time, so...
Yeah, no, no, I know. I know. But and she's been damaged since being there because she's been, again, used poorly. Back to it, I mean, they just have no idea how to use somebody, so why have bother having them on the roster?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you can say about all the releases. You know, I think that's...
Yeah.
I think that the only guy that they... the guy who was probably best used was Kozloff.
Well,
the least upside.
Do we want to drive right over there? Because, I mean, when you're talking about Monday Night Raw...
Let's talk about... No, let's finish. Let's finish. I'm going to say this about Beth Phoenix. And Natalya also turned heel on SmackDown and referenced Beth Phoenix. And then they'd be talking to each other, supporting each other on Twitter. And kind of the Sisters of Destruction, apparently. And I love the idea of the two of them as a team. To me, that can fill the void. Enough of the pretty bomb blonde bimbettes or all the bimbettes and all this and that. Fill the void of the character of where Awesome Kong was going.
Right.
They can do basically the two of them as a team can morph over and do everything that Awesome Kong was doing in that gimmick when she first debuted, knocking the heads off the Barbies.
Right.
Do that. So you have this strong, unbeatable, powerlifting duo who's sitting there, and when the time comes and you need that baby face to stand up to them, you got her coming back from a maternity leave.
Yeah.
So I love that.
No, that's I do too. I think that's great that happened, and
hopefully they're going in that direction.
Well, hopefully,
because
yeah.
Obviously, the brands don't matter at all. I mean, Zack Ryder apparently is going to be on both brands for the foreseeable future. I mean, which is great. He's going to be wrestling on one, and the assistant just tagging along on the other. But I mean, he's on TV regularly, both shows now, as apparently the plan. I mean, nothing matters as far as the brand split. It's never mattered less.
Well, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, it never meant less on a non. You know, I mean that in between Rumble and April, you know, it doesn't matter anyway because they're trying to promote Mania. And now, you know, and now it doesn't matter at all. But they do a backstage segment with Miz there.
You know
what
will matter next time is when they do the next draft. It'll matter for one night, they'll say. But it won't.
No.
And it didn't this year. It won't pop the ratings it once did.
No, it's that part is done. But, you know, it goes back to, as I said, nothing they do matters.
No.
Right?
No.
So, R-Truth and Miz do a little bit of a backstage segment where, you know, Miz is saying he's not anything like R-Truth, and R-Truth is...
We want to talk about, you know what, do you have anything else to say about some of the inside stuff that Hunter and Punk said to each other?
I don't know. What else did they say?
I don't know. Just...
Okay, then no.
I didn't like you. You're overrated. You're overrated. All that shit. Does that not matter?
Is
it just them trying to make it sound like they're shooting when they're not? Is that all that was?
It could be. I don't know. I didn't even take it that way. I didn't take that as you're overrated. I didn't really take that as an inside reference. No, I didn't. I mean,
I know what you're saying.
When he said, you know, I'm going to put my personal feelings aside, and he goes, well, tell me what your personal feelings are. And that's, again, Punk's delivery was great, and just, I mean, the last thing to really say about it, because, I mean, it beat the dead horse, and we'll find out tomorrow how it continues, but the last thing, I mean, Punk not backing down to Huntor, you know, was at least good that way. That, you know, it's not...
Well, he flips his little tie at the beginning. Well, what are you going to do, beat me up?
Well, I just like when he said, you know, John Cena better be business or something, and, you know, you better watch it too or something, Hunter said. And then Punk immediately just walked right up to him and said, or what? You know, what are you going to do? Yeah, and then...
But like I say, the dynamic doesn't work as well when it's another baby face to a baby face. So, all right, you're going to say, talk about my favorite part of the show, which was Miz and Truth together.
Yeah, I mean, Miz and Truth, I mean, they're...
I hope those two are long-term dynamic duo.
Skateboard?
Without the tights.
Oh. No, but I mean, I like the two of those, yeah, together. And, you know, Miz saying we're not anything alike, and Truth convincing him that they are, and Miz going along and going,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, I mean, then they beat Rey Mysterio and John Morrison in a tag match, a great match. And,
yeah, really good match. Very
yeah.
solid, very solid match.
And, you know, and then they win, and afterwards, Miz hit the skull-crushing finale on Morrison, held Morrison for Truth to hit him with the water bottle, and then, you know, they hugged, you know.
Yeah.
They did the, yeah, good win hug, and then they pointed at their wrist and said, you know, raise our hands. Like, they did, they seemed like they were, you know, a good...
I think they have really good, they have good chemistry.
Yeah.
The characters play off each other well. I love the idea of, you can call them, I think, more, I can't remember, somebody came up with a tag team name for them already that was just fantastic.
Okay.
Like, yeah. The, Miss, I don't know.
Armies
or Armies, no. No, it was some, but it was, but it doesn't matter. The point is that they came up with some great, like, the Cunts Misery or something like that. I don't know.
George
like
Lopez's
that.
Favorite tag team?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Well, 50% of them. But somebody came up with a great tag team name for them already somewhere online. They have chemistry. I love the idea of a team that is running roughshod as a heel duo. Because basically when all the faces are facing each other right now and you got Del Rio, these guys need something. So build them up as a strong duo, both as a duo and individuals, just people that have each other's back.
Yeah.
And let them run roughshod through Raw. That's cool.
Okay.
Also, I love but. Okay, what were you going
to say? Well, I was just going to say we're talking about tag team. I mean, to me, now is the time...
I don't even have them go after the tag team titles, do you?
Maybe not immediately, but, I mean, now, to me, is the time where... we're talking about them teaming, and who they beat here was Morrison and Ray. I don't do it with Morrison, but now's the time to put Ray and Bourne together, especially after last night.
Or Ray
not Sabella. Working, because Ray's... tweaked his knee again on Friday night, and so last night
yeah.
he didn't work. So, you know, to me that's, you know, you need
does
to heal.
Does have a match for SummerSlam? He does, doesn't he? He has a match against Morrison.
In theory, nothing's announced. Nothing's announced, but in theory that's the match.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, that to me
that's
is...
That's only a week out. Why would it be announced?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, what do they have a week out? Right now they've got the Beth match, Beth and Kelly, because she won the Battle Royal. You have the champion unification match, and you've got Sheamus, you got Orton and Christian, and you've got Sheamus and Henry.
Yep.
And that's everything you've got announced.
That's everything you've got announced,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know what? I don't mind the idea of Bourne with him or Sin Cara with him to take him on. We'll have to get to Sin Cara because that's a big topic to get to here.
Which one?
But not yet.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I'm just going to say this. Let's go off on this, because Ray, holy shit, did they fuck this up. They, coming out of the previous week, no promo, no package for him, nothing to talk about how this guy was going to bring that gold home to be with his kids, and lost it that same night. Even if this wasn't your game plan.
I thought it was Eddie's kid.
No, he lost the ladder match.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Even if this wasn't your game plan, the fact is that coming out of that week, that previous show, the momentum the character had, plus his performances in the ring, just capitalize on it and see where it goes. And this is their ability to go, we don't have any long-term plans, but we also don't have any plans for this guy, so we won't bother seeing what's right in front of us. Like, he wasn't part of our whatever long-term ideas we have. We don't have a plan. We have a long-term idea, and this guy's not part of it, so we're not going to adjust and do anything with it. So really, what they should have done was a highlight package of everything he did that night, everything he's been through, him talking about how he had been there. He had it for just a moment. He's going to get it back. Just, you know, build up that character so that fans want to see him in get his next title shot. Even if you don't have a plan for a while. So when it does happen, people are interested. And there was a momentum of the character, and they just didn't give a fuck. They fucked that up badly. That was, to me, worse than the stuff with CM Punk, was how badly they fucked up this stuff with Ray on Monday. Brutal.
Really?
Yeah. I was so pissed.
Were you?
So pissed off. You couldn't tell. He wasn't even in the ring getting the shit kicked out of him by those guys. He just got thrown out over the barrier, I believe, in that tag match and didn't come back in.
See, now, I think I wasn't expecting anything. So I didn't have that emotion because it was just like, okay, they did this
but
thing.
I knew I wasn't expecting it coming out of it. I thought they would but this isn't even about expecting something. It's about their ability to recognize what they're given.
No, but you were obviously expecting it because you're so upset that they didn't do it. I just,
expecting,
you know.
Expecting, no, hoping.
Okay, hoping still.
Off,
I mean,
pissed off that there's no hope for the company to turn around because they cannot take advantage of what they have.
Well,
they have nothing creative, and then they can't take advantage of things that aren't creative. So they're right there.
Well, I mean, that's a good salad beside your steak is all that is Rey Mysterio. I mean, it makes the meal better, but if it's not there, it's not there. And I never thought...
What the fuck did you just say?
Well, you're talking about Rey, and they can't recognize fucking Rey. You know what? Do I want to see Rey Mysterio get pushed? No. I watched Vintage Collection, and Rey Mysterio fought Psychosis at the Bash at the Beach before Hogan went heel, and then they had the next night on Nitro, Dean Malenko and Rey Mysterio, and it was fucking phenomenal. It was 1996. I'm done with Rey. Rey is a good... As I said, I put Rey with Evan Bourne. They make a great tag team. Rey shouldn't jump off a curb in 1999? And here we are in 2011? What are we going to do with Rey?
You're going to take advantage of him the one chance you have. When the time is right, you take advantage so you can maximize his earning potential for himself and the company. And that's what they failed to do here. That's what they continue to fail to do with everybody. That's been a pattern for many years, and that's where my frustration lies. It's not specifically with Rey,
yeah.
It's specifically with the company and their failure to do that.
Well, and again, I think we talked about the same thing with Punk, right? And Punk had the potential to do that, which is where I get a little upset that they're failing to take advantage of the CM Punk situation to bring him up. But Rey, I don't care. I don't care about Rey. I mean, it's just, isn't anything that, Rey getting pushed, am I going to buy that pay-per-view? Probably not. I mean, I'll buy it, but not because of that. I'm not going to be compelled to see Rey Mysterio win the title again.
Well, obviously we have differing opinions on that. So let's just move on, since I won that argument.
How about A-Rai and Dolph
Let's move on to another... another potential SummerSlam match. I said before I didn't see anything in A-Rai. The crowd reaction on Monday certainly backs that up. He was never getting a good reaction. Miz was getting a good reaction. People wanted to see Miz get beat up. A-Rai is... A-Rai... Everybody, you know what, the top, every single person on that show that came out to cut a promo all night long was wearing a suit, except for Punk. Every performer, heel or face, was wearing a really fancy suit.
Not
except
Cena.
For Punk and Cena, the top two people in the company. A-Rai comes out, he's cutting his promo, and he just... doesn't seem likable, and he his delivery is fine.
Kelly wasn't wearing a suit.
Oh, I saw her in her birthday suit.
Oh yeah,
those pictures are online, folks.
Probably. but no, I mean that to me again, they just built it up, and I said, yeah, I mean, A-Rai and Dolph Ziggler is probably the next way that I would have gone with it anyway. Just someone new in that sort of not the Kofi Kingston, Jack Swagger. You know, Dolph Ziggler,
at least it's new.
Middle title mix, right? I mean, it's just a new guy to throw in the mix. And so, I'm all for it.
And Ziggler has his exact same look he did when he came over from SmackDown again. His hair has grown back out to the same length. It's right color. It's,
Yeah.
His look has returned to that far more unique look.
Which is
that's
good.
Good.
Yeah.
I noticed that. Yeah.
That's
him and A-Rai. I just don't see A-Rai. He's a creator wrestler, you know, mold character from SmackDown versus Raw. Fine promo as far as the delivery, but the content isn't good. The character has nothing to him that people gravitate towards, and Ziggler to me is way ahead of him in charisma, delivery, performance in the ring, all of it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm a Ziggler fan, and I think that
are you a zigzag?
I don't know that he needs to. The hard part right now is, I mean, my immediate thought is, you know, well, he should drop the U.S. Title and you know, and go on an upper feud, but you know, against who? That's
yeah.
Again, right? So
that's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, if he goes into an upper feud against Rey, well, technically he had that lower feud against Rey. So I mean, who cares? Now that's the other thing, though. I'm going to say this is something that really, really was strange to me. As they're walking to the ring, Vicky and Dolph, Mike, I think it was Michael Cole who goes, the WWE's platonic power couple. Since when? They're fucking, that was the whole storyline, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Why are they?
I think ever since they came over to Raw, though, they really played that down, didn't they?
What?
And then they,
really?
My client, or blah, blah. And I think that's supposed to be the gimmick. Is that, you know, Michael Cole saying the platonic couple, Vicky always saying my client Dolph Ziggler, so that they don't give the inference that they're fucking, but we're supposed to be going, oh yeah, you guys are fucking. So then they get upset when we say you guys are fucking, aren't you? And they go, what? Honestly, I think that's probably.
If that's
it's
then
a fail.
It's
an absolute fail. But I get that feeling that that's what they're trying to do. Again, not successfully, but that's what they're trying to do.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, again, if that's another SummerSlam match, great. You know, it's just another, you know, another, you get the U.S. title on there, you get those guys on there, and it's, I mean, I'm fine with that. So.
Okay, let's move on to SmackDown here. I think
it. Woo, woo, woo. And the debut of the Cobra puppet.
Yeah,
Mr.
who gives
Stanko.
It? Nobody noticed.
Mr.
And we'll see if that actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, whatever, you know.
The one thing I did.
They don't know what
to
do with Ryder. They still don't get Ryder. There's somebody else they don't get, and they don't know how to use him. They feel forced to put him on TV now, so they're doing it, but they don't have any idea heel or face or what the hell he is.
Or
how to use him.
One thing they are taking more notice of, and I noticed this on Zack Ryder's latest. Show is that it, you know, welcome to Z True Long and Life Story. It's me once again, the internet champion.
He has an actual real nice belt made now and stuff.
He's no longer the WWE internet champion. He's the internet champion because I'm sure went to him and said, hey, you know, I don't mind you doing this shit, but you're not the WWE Internet Champion. Don't do that. I bet you.
You're probably right.
You know, so because that was the first thing they pointed out when he went the Internet Champion. I thought, oh, okay, interesting. So
interesting.
One
yeah.
thing I will say though, Otunga and McGillicuddy, they got new music.
McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy. Yeah, I don't know, but when they had new music. They came out,
Dykel,
popping and you know, like jumping and they had emotion when they came out. They weren't just
when Maven came out. Yes,
and
Maven.
They do a version of the Demolition Decapitation as their finisher now.
They're on both teams. They beat the Usos. Now they beat these guys. They're getting the most TV exposure possibly as far as actual wrestling matches week in week out. Probably just about anybody.
I think they need a name, but
they're the new Nexus.
I don't.
Besides, I
no,
I
the new Nexus is
Maven.
Done. They're not. As I said,
like
they got
Maven.
New music. The armbands are gone. The Nexus thing is done. So,
how about Mivid?
Mivid? I don't know. But
Mivid.
Anyway, I like them. That's all
I
I'm trying
David.
To say. I like them, and I hope this.
Yeah, you have one guy with a worker, another guy who's got the hit factor.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, it's.
But no,
me,
it's fine. It's a team. I'm been screaming for teams. I mean, but again, when we go back here and we're going to talk about the releases and potential future releases, we're going to be talking about how fucking none of this would be happening. These guys might be getting over on TV regularly if you had tag teams.
Yeah. Well, that's right. But,
know?
I mean, I just want to say that. I mean, people have always been down on Onotunga, and of course, the name McGillicuddy we all know is retarded. But
the name McGillicuddy is retarded. Onotunga should be in a team. This is how he should be used best. He's never going to be a superstar by himself. He's never going to be good enough in the ring. But he's going to be great on a team. If you have a strong tag team division, he can be a star there.
Well, and even, I mean, even if they don't, you keep him there. And I like that. So I'm just looking to see if there was anything else that we hadn't talked about. And I guess that there isn't on Raw. I don't have any other notes on Raw. So if we want to move over to SmackDown.
Let's move over to SmackDown.
The dark match of SmackDown. Colt Cabana.
Mm-hmm.
The job and the Wade Barrett in the dark match. So what do you think about that? Do you think they'll be able to?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before. You said specifically, basically before. Oh, he's coming in. It's pretty much, you know, you're like, yeah, he's coming in.
Yeah,
and he is.
Mm-hmm. And I think,
you know,
yeah,
I don't even know. The only reason I figured they did a dark match was so they could show Vince McMahon and Johnny Laurinaitis who he was.
Right. Yeah. Probably. Probably. I mean, and that's, you know, that's fair enough. Get him out there. Get him, you know, against Wade Barrett. Get him, you know, they probably just wanted to get him used to the ring that he's never been in.
Yeah. Well, that gives him 7 matches now on the WWE roster
that's
and
right.
7 losses.
That's right. Well, there you go. But, I mean, okay, so Colt Cabana in the dark match, I think, you know, that hopefully will be a prelude to him, again, coming in with Punk.
I hope it doesn't mean he would be on SmackDown, exactly. You know, I mean, if you're going to be there, I mean, come in on Raw, be part of Punk, be with the Kings of Wrestling, you know. Mm-hmm. Do they own that name, Kings of Wrestling? Do the performers own that name, or what's the deal with that, you know?
Well, I don't know that they would call, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, but you know what nobody owns the name to right now is Kings of Sports Entertainment.
Did you read that in the Observer talking about how people search WWE?
Oh yeah.
And like 1 in 10 million are searching WWE Sports Entertainment.
Yes.
Compared to WWE Wrestling.
Yeah, because when you type in Sports Entertainment, the first thing that comes up is Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment from the Toronto Maple Leafs, because that's the name of their parent company.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yes. Just trying to think of what happened on the SmackDown. We had the, I mean, again, they opened the show with promoting Sheamus and Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And then immediately it's a shameful thing. Dunderhead starts and the crowd goes and Sheamus comes out with his, you know, with the smile on his face and whatnot. And Sheamus has a hell of a match against the Great Khali.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a hell of a match.
I would.
Khali can't move at all.
No, and
but
that was the match. The match was Sheamus was bumping
Kim
for him.
Movement around him.
Running
in,
bumping for him, was able to then duck, go behind, stick and move, get him tied into the ropes, take advantage of him. It was a great match.
It's perfect. It's perfect for what he needs to do because against Khali, but it's also perfect to set up the psychology of him against the other monster, Mark Henry.
That's right. He beat the monster.
That's what I liked about him.
Yeah, that's what I liked
that's
about
That's
what
him. I liked about Sheamus.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so I thought that was a great great opening to the show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else happened. I know my notes here. Natty.
Natalya. Yeah,
turned
Natalya,
heel with
that's
AJ.
What we talked about.
Here we go again. I mean, with the praise, the best women's match I've seen since Trish Stratus left the company.
Well, okay, I'll put it this way. Without any question in my mind, Natalya is the best in-ring worker currently on the WWE roster.
Yes, yeah. Better than Gail,
you know,
Kim? Oh, you said currently on the WWE roster.
That's right. And that you know... Well, it depends. I mean, Aja Kong or Awesome Kong. Not Aja Kong. Sorry, that's someone else.
She's
Awesome
coming.
Kong, Amazing Kong, whatever, Karma. Yeah, Aja Kong is a legendary Japanese performer who's going to be in Shikara.
Mm-hmm.
their first time since 1995. She's going to be in North America, so that's pretty cool. But
yeah, since their WWE short stint.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, anyways, but yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely excited to see Natalya get a chance to perform in the ring again lately, because really what she's been doing has been
I'm as excited
seconding these NXT guys or these NXT girls. She's been basically seconding them to the ring for a little while.
Was a great. I mean, like you, I was saying to you, it was a Hart match. It was the Davey Boy Owen Hart, you know, leg scissor, nip up, duck under, go behind, chain wrestling, leapfrog, you know, drop down, hit it again, you know, match that, you know, that's missing
in four and a half minutes.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that it was, you know, your Ric Flair, woo, 60 minutes every night classic here. But for what it was, is it best women's match I've seen in, you know, in WWE since Trish left. And the first time, not with Snooki. But it was something that, and then Natty turns heel afterwards, you know, and almost mirrors the Beth Phoenix attack and mentions Beth, and you know, and they're going back on Twitter and you know, and talking about that. So I mean, great deal there.
Really enjoyed that. And then something else that was very enjoyable, not too long, but Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Justin Gabriel video package of him going to South Africa.
Actually, that's not bad either. I mean, I like that. Again, you're showing the character's roots, the performer and character's roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who he is better after a couple of weeks of them doing that than I did for really the 2 years prior or whatever he was around.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't take much.
The only thing we knew about him before was that he did a 450. He did a 450, and John Cena said he was gay.
Yeah,
you're
right.
That's all we knew
honestly.
About him. But now, and he is a baby face. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, with him and Slater, Slater did the heel, and that makes sense for Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. I mean, with his style, needs to be a baby face. I mean, even when he was in the Nexus doing that stuff, I mean, he had a great sneer to be able to heal it, but that character that style is meant for a baby face.
Yeah, no, the style, his look, it looks the type of look that, you know, that matinee idol type look, you know, that, and, you know, he's just, yeah, definitely he's a babyface type personality, so.
Yeah.
And which is what he performed for the majority of his career, is as a babyface, and he was a son of a promoter and such, so.
He died, didn't he? Son of a wrestler promoter who died, I think.
Who died, exactly.
I think
that
was the story. But you said Daniel Bryan, Tyson Kidd, Wade Barrett on the commentary.
Yep.
Did you know that with the payday that Booker T got for WrestleMania 19, he could have retired?
Well, he was talking about retiring back then.
How many times did Booker T go, that... Because, of course, the story was that Bryan is cashing in the Money at the Bank at WrestleMania, and Wade Barrett's pissed that he doesn't have the briefcase. And, of course, Booker going, you know, that's right. I'd be pissed, too, because, man, the payday I got for WrestleMania 19, it just kept... And it was really funny, and I think Booker was having fun with it, too. The announcers, you could tell...
Did you know that the guillotine choke that Daniel Bryan used when Booker T calls it is called the Anaconda Vice?
Yes, he does call it the Anaconda. Yes, that Anaconda choke. You got to watch out for the Anaconda choke for D. Bryan, my boy D. Bryan. And Daniel Bryan, of course, gets new music. Kind of just the SmackDown report, like when you hear about the tapings, it'd be, oh, it's great new music, and it might be because the announcers talked through it, because Booker T was trying to get them to lay out so they hear the new music, but fucking Cole, of course, being an asshole, just starts talking through it.
The music before kind of had a sense of his personality, and this kind of has a sense of his personality, but I don't feel like they've found the perfect music for Daniel Bryan yet.
Well, this is just
This is already in their library. They used it for, I think, Night of the Champions or something like that as a pay-per-view theme.
Because it seemed like a remix of Flight of the Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they
used it it had the same connotations of Flight of the Valkyrie, but it wasn't. And so, but it had the same sort of chords and music. But anyway, I mean, so he comes out and Tyson Kidd, you know, great match with Tyson Kidd. You know, the Calgary product are, you know, they're 2 for 2 here in a row. And you want to say, I guess in the opening package, Mark Henry came through Calgary to train, so we may be 3 for 3. And Jinder Mahal at ringside for the opening match. So we're fucking 3 for 3 with Calgary Connection here on SmackDown. No wonder this was such
four
a great
for four
show.
Almost. Four for four, because if you want to include Jinder Mahal and Mark Henry, you say 4 for 4, and
well,
it would be 5 for 5, but one of them's released. Anyways, the thing, Tyson Kidd's very good. They don't see money in Tyson Kidd. They'll never see money in Tyson Kidd. I'm pretty much sure. But the thing, they do know that he's a good hand. He's terrific at making other performers look good.
And
he's a jobber. But he's that modern-day jobber.
But they know he's got a personality a bit, too, that he can talk. And I think that's that may be what saved him over, at least at this point, over
I think
Smith.
What saved him is the idea that he is a smaller performer who can make bigger guys or guys the same size look really, really good in losing to them.
Yeah. Now, I mean, more cuts are still to come.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might all be for naught here, but, I mean, we'll see. But at this point, I mean, you know, they had a great match, and you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt. So, then it's, you know, we're welcome to Zach Down. Woo.
It got put across that he's not the assistant GM. He's just the assistant to Teddy.
He's assistant to the general manager, not the assistant general manager. Yeah.
Exactly.
Then Ezekiel Jackson comes out and
kills him.
Wow, he cuts a shitty promo first. And then,
so you have the guy who can't wrestle, who cuts the shitty promo, kill Zack Ryder.
Yeah. After Teddy Long, just played out general manager character here, Teddy Long. Like, you talk about wanting to change. I mean, fuck, Teddy Long needs to. I mean, nice enough guy. Give him a job in the office, but.
Fuck, let him be an announcer. He can be better than Booker T.
Being an announcer, being a manager, I mean, whatever. But, I mean, don't. He doesn't need to be the general manager anymore because that's just played. He mocks Zack Ryder with the woo. And just, I mean,
Let's talk about what happened off camera.
I was just about to say, coming on what happened off camera, go ahead.
Well, basically, Triple H goes, says to everybody, this is a little secret. They turn off the lights, they turn off the camera. He pedigrees Zack Ryder, then he turned the lights back on, rolled him out of the ring, and, you know, that's just a little secret between us. And then they turn the camera and the lights back on.
Well, yeah, saying that, you know, he's got a lot of frustration he's got to take out, and the COO, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know. Then he just fucking pedigrees him. And it's just,
what's the purpose of that?
They just
what does that accomplish?
Well, they think that he's a heel, thing.
But then they had him teaming with Santino on Raw.
On Raw, I know. That continuity, folks, so important. But
Jesus Christ.
I honestly don't.
I know, I tell you, Addy. Never mind, go ahead.
I don't know. You know, it's just dumb and counterproductive and, you know, just, yeah, I didn't like it. I mean, first segment, it didn't involve someone from Calgary, so that makes sense. So.
Yes. All right, and then you have Kozlov and Henry.
Yes.
Henry kills him. Basically, Kozlov is injured. That's a way to get him out of the company.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know,
I thought
you
it was kind of...
He ruined his career.
So, yeah, he's gone, and you know, and he'll go hang out with Jerry Jarrett. But, then he comes out, and, you know, and Sheamus runs out, and off you go, right? So they keep going with that match. And next you move over to the Usos, and again, Usos and Trent Beretta against
JTG. Before we do,
why?
Sheamus cut the promo in the back on Henry. Remember where he said, was it something about he had Luck of the Irish, 24-carat horseshoe up his arse.
Yes.
And he's going to beat Henry with it. That was fucking awesome. That was fantastic.
He did, yes. I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, the Usos and Trent Barretta versus the New Nexus and JTG.
Matilla Tonga and JTG. Talking about people surviving the cuts there. You got Trent Barretta and JTG, at least for now.
I like that Mibbit name. We're going to go with that.
With what?
Mibbit.
What is Mibbit?
Michael and David combined. Mibbit.
Right.
Okay. You're welcome.
You're welcome, huh? Why don't they call themselves the Perfect Hudson?
I like it.
Yes. But anyway, you know, another match. You know, the one thing about the Usos is they've got that Haika entrance.
That's a very cool opening, yeah.
The only thing they need, though, is when they jump in the air at the end down to the ground, they need fireworks behind them.
Yeah, that would help.
Every time I'm waiting, they jump up and they do, like, they kind of do, like, the thing where they hit their hands on the ground, like, they do, like, a boom almost, right? But there's no fire.
Yeah.
All they need is, like, a smoke, like what the Sultan used to have, right, behind them. And just
yeah,
boom,
smoke even, yeah.
And
with,
that big
yeah,
smoke
just something
puff, right? Just to do that. And it's so obvious to me. I don't know why they don't do that. But anyway, they do the whole deal with... They win with the demolition decapitator on Trent Barretta, so the right guy gets beat there. And
yep. Hype video for Sin Cara comes next.
No.
Wait.
Writing is on the wall.
That's right.
Johnny Curtis.
Oh, Johnny Curtis. Fuck.
My favorite though, like the thing again. Here we go with. I don't want to talk about, potential because I don't know that there is any with him, but I don't know that there's not. I've never seen him, obviously. But when the writing is on the wall and they play crickets.
Yeah.
Like, they've gotten this, like, he's the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah.
Like, so who gives a fuck that he's debuting next week? Like, here is... Johnny Curtis is debuting next week. Look forward to him for 2 weeks before he's on Superstars.
Like, really? That's about it? I mean, they spent... we talk about how we like the hype video packages.
It would be awesome if he got released tomorrow.
Fuck, that'd be
before
great.
Before he could be debuted.
So we talk about the hype video packages and how we like those. You say to me, Johnny Curtis, the writing's on the wall. My first reaction is, oh, fuck. Like, talk about videos that have made me not want to watch a guy wrestle, not get a personality across.
Well, that's
I don't know that I've ever... I feel like I'm already sick of this guy and haven't seen him wrestle yet.
Oh, I am already sick of this guy and haven't seen him wrestle yet. So, I mean...
Because I didn't watch NXT.
No.
Because it,
well,
you know,
was
NXT.
Well, we got it here, but no, I didn't see that. I watched the first...
Yeah, I was working.
I watched the first couple. And,
yeah.
And that was the first two I watched, but anyway. So... Yeah, then Sin Cara, you said, the video. Hudako under the mask next week. So he's coming back. It said the video was a lot like his he's coming video where they showed the him in the ring or surrounded by the fire a little bit, but they also had some stuff of him actually now in the ring, of course, on SmackDown. And the big thing was with the music that played with his music. And then the big thing was a body mended and a return next week. And that was what the thing said. So a good...
Funny how the person who put him out was Sheamus is now a face. So I guess they won't be following up on that.
Yeah, but you know what? The guy, at least though he put him out, not with any... Like, not like Mark Henry. So there
no,
was no,
no.
It's nothing dastardly
it's not
about
after
it.
The ring. No, it's just not, during the course of the match.
It was during the course of
the
ladder match. It was all fair in that, right? So, I mean, that at least is okay. And then the end, we'll just quickly, you know, Orton and Morrison against Christian and Truth. Of course, Christian.
Another very good match.
Hmm?
Another very good match.
Oh, another good match, yeah, sure. But, I mean, again, I I honestly kind of fast-forwarded through most of this because I just knew what was happening. I knew it was happening,
yeah.
and it really wasn't going to further anything to me.
No.
We got our two SummerSlam matches in the main event of SmackDown here, and great. You know, Christian won, which leads me to believe that Orton will win, obviously, at the SummerFest here, but who knows?
Yeah, that sounds right.
We'll get there. So we could stay on with Sin Cara here, just because we just talked about him, looks like he's back on. I mean, we heard that he was coming back next week because, I guess from Australia, SmackDown airs earlier, so there was the video of him, you know, there. So the word gets out that Sin Cara is back, and of course everybody's going, fuck, really? 3 weeks? Nice suspension. Well, now it turns out that a Florida Championship Wrestling, someone they brought over and has been in Florida, his name is Hudico?
I believe Hudico, yeah.
Yeah. Is going to be the new person, at least next Tuesday, under the mask as Sin Cara.
Now, I've been a little bit confused. Is he only for 1 week going to be Sin Cara? Or is he going to be Sin Cara moving forward?
Well, no one has the answer to that question. That is the big question. That's the $64,000 question, as CM Punk said. But the thing is,
because he's got a different body, a little less lean, and he's taller.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, and I mean, the question the begs is, why do you do that for 1 week? Well, to me, the only reason that would make sense for you to do it with someone else under the mask on Tuesday and then return back to Mystico would be if somebody, I don't even know if it's Alberto or you know, although it looks like Alberto's going to be paired with Kofi, but if somebody beats up Sin Cara on Tuesday, dastardly, and they have a match at SummerSlam. If you want to get Mystico on SummerSlam, that would, to me, is really the only reason. And you can't bring him back yet because of the wellness policy. You know, that to me is the only reason.
See, I look at it completely different. I look at it going, you put this guy under the mask next week. Maybe you do it in a dark mask to test him out. But you do it because his sales, and this is why Sin Cara is not going anywhere. The sales of his merchandise, even when he's not being on TV, tremendously strong.
Yeah, but
he's being off TV for...
Cara's not going anywhere, right?
That's what I said. This is why Sin Cara is not going anywhere. Because the merchandise has been so tremendously strong, even when he's been off TV, especially to kids 5 and under.
That's right.
So Sin Cara is not going anywhere. So to me, what you do is, because Sin Cara's sales of his merchandise is so good, you need to have him make an appearance. It doesn't have to be in the ring. It doesn't have to be anything more than him backstage looking like he's having a conversation with somebody else. Or backstage, you know, just as part of the roster or something like that. And to me, that's what I think they're doing.
No.
I think probably maybe you do an dark match. No, they don't say, they have not said that he's performing in the ring.
No, but he's back. And so that ain't a dark match.
Well, he could have a dark match and then just be on TV. Could be a promo. Could be anything.
Okay,
could
but
be
that
backstage.
Makes
the... He could be anything just to get the character on TV to keep him visible for one more week until the next guy comes back.
Here's my counter-argument to that. Mystico is suspended for 30 days, right? 30 days from, say, the 19th of July, I believe, was the 18th of July. Was the 19th the pay-per-view? 19th was the pay-per-view.
I don't recall.
So we'll say 20th, so until August 20th. And here we are, the 14th would be... So what you'd be doing is, again, merchandise. Is 1 week going to kill anything? If Mystico is due back, or if his suspension is over in a week, then what does it matter? Like, what? Why a week? That to me is a week in the whole grand scheme of things. Just funny.
Well, why not? Why not just put the guy, if you're not going to put him in the ring anyways, just put him in for 1 week. And July 17th was the pay-per-view.
Okay.
1 week. Why not just put him backstage? Just keep the character's momentum. Just what the hell? It doesn't hurt. And just move on. It's just.
Yeah, but with that, again, that hype video, he's going in the ring.
Not necessarily.
He's going in the ring. Because what, Mystico's back to do what? Cut a promo? No. What is he back?
Something. He could do something backstage. He can do some sort of high fly. You could have him in the rafters, for fuck's sake, back with lights around, you know, in a position where people couldn't tell it's somebody different. You do all sorts of shit.
Well, you can. You can. But I guess my thing is why?
Because they want the other guy back, but they just want to have him on TV.
Yeah, but that doesn't cut it to me.
They're afraid to have him off for too long, that eventually he will lose momentum.
But a week.
That's what I think is happening.
It's a week.
I might be wrong. It's a week or it's 30. You say it's a week, but in reality it's 30 days.
No, but okay, he's gone for 30 days or he's gone for...
In their mindset, they might be sitting there going, being gone for 3 weeks, but that fourth week makes it too long. Who knows? I don't know actually what's going to happen. I'm not even sure what's going to happen. I wouldn't say this is what I think they're going to do, actually. I'll just say that I'm going to throw out that possibility, but don't read too much into it.
Well, I don't know. It's why even do it at all? And I mean, there's already been rumblings about how he's got, you know, heat, and then you're going to bring someone else in under the mask to say, you know, basically...
He's going to also have heat.
Basically just to say... Hey, you know what? This. What do you mean he doesn't have heat? Fuck.
No, I didn't say that. I said the next guy they bring in will probably also have heat.
Oh, also have heat. Well, but the thing is I think part of what they're doing is they're waving their dicks in their face and saying, "Hey, you fuck up, and we'll just throw someone else under the mask, and you know what? And life will go on. You know what?
Yeah,
so,
but will it? They don't know. They don't know that somebody else under that mask will be able to get over and sell the same amount of merchandise and this and that. You know what? Owen Hart and Conan under a mask weren't able to get over and sell merchandise to that level. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the real Mystico is coming back as Sin Cara. That's just my feeling. At the end of the day, that's how I feel.
I don't know. The thing is... What I'm hoping to happen, you can't do it in United Champions because it's not a championship match. You'd have to wait for Hell in the Cell. But if...
You're not fucking... A Night of the Champions last year, I don't think every match was a championship match.
Okay. Well, then you could do it in Night of the Champions.
They only have like five championships again now, right? Six. That's not even enough for a full card.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you need a couple more.
What about if the Internet Championship is on the line?
Well, no. Fucking
anyway,
perfect.
Daniel Bryan
should cash in his money in the bank for.
What I do then at Night of Champions, if you want to do a non-title that's an important match, is, and you can involve some legends with this, right? Ted DiBiase, Sin Cara against Paul Bearer, Sin Cara. Mystico
against
Hudico.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah. Play off of SummerSlam and the Undertaker.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Book it now.
Book it now.
Money.
Now.
See, and they'll sell twice
as many. You know what
would
be even better then? If we got, what was his name? Who was Undertaker? Brian Lee?
Brian
he
Lee.
Played the other Sin Cara?
That would be
excellent.
That would be excellent. But, I mean, you would sell twice as many masks because there's two Sin Caras.
Well, hey, you know what? Bring back, that's an excellent way to bring back Luke Gallows. Put on the mask.
Mm-hmm. Kane.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But anyway, let's move forward to what we talked about, Raw, SmackDown, we talked about the Sin Cara. Let's talk about the releases, right? We keep going through.
Yeah, then we'll hit Hardcore Justice on our way out.
Really?
Well, then a Hogan bullshit, then we'll bounce.
We have to talk about Hardcore Justice?
Fuck no.
Okay.
How long are we into the show? How long? What's the recording time?
We're about an hour 20 here, so.
Holy shit.
So.
All right, let's get to the releases.
Let's do the releases here. So, five releases thus far as we record this. Again, maybe more to come. D.H. Smith, Vladimir Kozlov, Chris Masters, Gail Kim, and Melina.
Let's open with Gail Kim.
Okay.
Tell her story of her release, because it's a little different than the rest, apparently.
Well, I mean, Gail Kim is claiming she quit, either way, she's no longer employed. Of course, she claims she quit after, on Monday, claiming that she wasn't trying to get herself fired by intentionally eliminating herself from the Battle Royal in, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, she was supposed to go out in the first minute, so instead of having anybody touch her, she just rolled underneath the ring ropes and left.
Yeah, she went through
and
the
nobody
middle
rope. And then nobody apparently noticed, so she mentioned that on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that was she tweeted. She said,
I said how she was being professional, just getting out of the ring as easy and quickly as possible.
They said, hey, the first minute, she said, I did what I was told, and I just wanted to see if anybody would notice, and nobody did.
Exactly.
And then she tweeted about it, and of course, then they took notice.
Of course.
Yes. So.
Of course.
So
she doesn't care. She's marrying, I can't recall his name, with the celebrity chef.
Robert Irvine, I want to say.
Could be.
But yeah, celebrity chef.
Isn't that Chris Jericho's father?
Ted Irvine. But no, she'll do fine. She'll do fine.
She'll be fine. Yeah. So whatever. Whatever. Yeah. Gail Kim, though, wanted out of the company. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Why not? Since she's been there, let's see. She came in. She was one of the hottest acts in TNA. Came in and was never, ever used or featured in any fashion, except for some little dating thing she did with Daniel Bryan that was stupid, in her entire tenure with the company this time.
You say that, though.
Never given the championship, never given a run with it, never given a chance to wrestle and perform at her best, which is what got her over in TNA, and gave her the momentum, and the way they wanted to hire her back, nothing.
She's the hottest character in TNA. That's like saying I'm the best player in the World League of American Football.
You would be.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's the equivalent. So I mean,
I know. But you know what I mean? There was a reason why they wanted her back.
Oh, there definitely was, and they never used it.
And then they didn't give a fuck. No, exactly.
And so, I mean, you know, she'll be fine. Vladimir Kozlov, we talked about a little bit, got taken out.
I think there was one match she had a chance to have one good match with Mickey after Mickey had several bad matches in a row, and Mickey was really good, looking forward to it. It was a face-versus-face match. They had one chance. And then, if you remember correctly, Gail got hurt like a minute into the match, and it became a clusterfuck.
Yeah, didn't Mickey like throw a temper tantrum at her in the ring?
Yeah,
she
got hurt.
Yeah,
because Gail got hurt. It wasn't her fault. It was just one of those things.
Yeah. And the finish watch, and they did it three times or something. Yeah, I remember. But anyway,
yeah.
Kozlov, we talked about got killed by Mark Henry, pilmanized by Mark Henry to storyline.
I talk to Kozlov like a couple times a month. Do you want me to try and get him on next show?
Let's do that. Let's do that. If he's able to talk, let's get him to talk for sure. I mean,
I can get him on. Okay. Next show.
Next show, on our
Thursday show.
Okay.
We'll do a regular cleanup of smaller news items that may have fallen between the cracks that we don't want to ignore. It's our back in black session of We Talk Wrestling, the Thursday show.
That's awful. But Vladimir Kozlov. You know, again, never anything, you know, teamed with probably the most high-profile guy on this list.
He came up when he was, like, 40 years old, right?
Sure. I don't know.
Okay, he's pretty close to that. He's not young, right?
No.
Yes, he has a legitimate background in Sambo. And thank you, Mick Foley, for that.
Mm-hmm. Sambo number 5.
But he has a legitimate background in that. He is he's an athlete. He's very old, and was not at all until shortly before he was signed and brought up, had never actually trained. Within the WWE was a Jerry Jarrett guy brought to the WWE because he was this person Jerry Jarrett saw his potential. It was kind of almost a shot at his son, Jeff Jarrett, that he wouldn't let him go to TNA.
Well, no, he offered him up to TNA, and TNA said, no, we don't want to put anybody, or we want to be putting people right on television. We don't want to be training people and then getting them on television. And so we brought him over to Vince, and it was the big Jerry Jarrett. It was on WWE.com. Jerry Jarrett visits, Oleg Prudius, his name, and puts him down. Developmental comes up way too, well, they started to bring him up as
actually
I like.
Actually from the Ukraine, I believe. Ukrainian. I believe he's Russian. I believe he's Ukrainian.
I like double E. And then did he get a wellness pop, or did they just stop using
him? No, he didn't. What happened was they brought him up. He was, I love WWE, right? Okay,
yeah.
That was his gimmick, and he was getting booed, and they were going to bring him in. And instead, somebody went to Vince and said, hey, Vince, you know this guy's not really ready in the ring. He's only training like 2 months. And Vince said, well, what the hell are we giving all this TV time to a guy who's not ready for the ring?
Yeah.
And that's why he got sent back down. But when he did get brought up, he got a huge push right up to main event level status against people like Triple H for the
Triple
title.
Triple H and Jeff Hardy, there were three ways and whatnot for it, yeah. And then he got back in, and he became a comedy guy with Santino.
It's a baby face.
So he's best known as his baby face.
Which is, apparently, he's hilarious backstage. It's a thing. He's apparently a really, really funny guy. So they thought they could use that. And to tell you the truth, his comedic timing was pretty good. But what's the use of a Russian baby face, stone face comedic character in 2011?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So, I mean, so they
he's 40 years old and not good in the ring.
No, that's it. So he was a tag team champion with Santino, and you know, now he's released. So we'll move on. There's not much more to say about Kozlov.
He's not going to TNA. He's done.
Yeah. No.
Chris Masters, of all the people in the company, this guy got who were released, probably screwed the most because he had a great look. Was not ready in the ring.
Was he ready?
Was ready.
Oh, okay.
Was not ready in the ring, and then got a wellness violation. I believe he had two of them.
A violence?
In fact, a violence? Well, no, that would have been somebody else.
Oh.
Da-na-na-na-na. He had a wellness violation. I think he had two of them. In fact, he might even have had three at one point.
No.
He was fired from the company, but he definitely had two of them. When he came back, he was a lot smaller. He regained his size after being made fun of on TV by Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Stack of Dime, yeah.
DX. Yeah. So you have a guy here who, when they brought him back this time, they never really put him on TV. They never repackaged him. His whole thing was that he could move his pecs into Crazy Train.
I was going to say, he became a baby face with the peck bounce.
Comedic
thing.
Character. Yeah, like a baby face comedic character. So here's a guy who's 25 years old, has been with the company for like 5-6 years on and off, is really, really improved drastically in the ring.
Oh, definitely.
But it didn't matter because what they did to him when they brought him up when he wasn't ready and he was green, and the image they created with him then, he was never able to break out of it, and they never gave him an opportunity to try.
No, that's just it. And, I mean, he came back. I mean, his whole thing, was that he was a bodybuilder, and then with the wellness policy, I mean, he really slimmed down to, to be just, a big, well-fit guy, but not this huge.
He was about a 220-pound guy then. You know,
you mean?
No, then. Now he's back to, he regained his size.
How much?
He got to be about 220.
Oh,
when he lost all the weight and they made fun of him.
Right, but now he come back to. He's
about 260 again now.
He looked normal though to me. He didn't look like he bulked.
No, he did. He looked like a great athlete.
Yeah,
he was in shape.
Exactly, and I mean, in his work it improved.
A modern day athlete.
And I enjoyed his.
But you know what? We don't really want that.
No. So,
he gets up.
He's booked. I mean, he put out that he's getting booked. He's booked on a tour overseas in, I want to say Portugal for some reason. But anyways, he's booked out over there already.
But what is his future? I mean, to me, he's again, when I look at Crimson and his failure in TNA, I mean, I'd rather have a Chris Masters.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that, I mean, if I am TNA, that I'm bringing in.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's...
Absolutely. I'd be all over that.
He would be
I think so.
Of the
as
list
as,
here...
Would he be somebody to bring back to the WWE a third time? I think it's very possible they would bring him back a third time. I'll say this, though. There's no reason to think this time when they bring him back it'd be different for him. It's hard to believe that they didn't recognize, what they had with him and how he improved and or care. Never repackaged him, never did anything, never gave him any time...
I think of the list here of the five. I think
if he has a good look and he now can work, now he's ready. Fuck! Why did he have to bring him out so early?
Well, I mean, and what's done is done. But of the five, I think he has the best. He had the best potential. He had the best overall, all around.
Well, I think David Hart Smith had the best overall potential. But I mean, it's pretty close. Both of them got screwed here. But,
I think Chris
Masters worse. I think First Masters is screwed worse because if you look at his overall story,
But they're very similar stories, and we'll get there. I mean, let's move over to D.H. Smith then. Harry Smith. You know, a guy that was brought up as the Hart, Davy Boy Bret Hart thing, had the tights that were half Canada, half British, and then was popped after 2 weeks for a wellness violation. A month after they had announced that they were going to make the wellness violations public, which then it comes out that he'd actually failed that test before he debuted, and this was their way of getting someone on television and then saying, this man seen on television has failed a wellness policy.
Exactly. They basically used him as a scapegoat going, okay, you guys say that we don't put anybody on television and then pop them. Well, here's a guy who's on television. We're giving him a push, and now he got popped. It's like, see, anybody can get wellness violation and be gone. That was their way of doing it, and he got screwed. Now, you have a guy who just turned 25 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you have somebody who's been wrestling for 11 years.
Yeah.
25 years old, 6'4", 265 pounds. Third generation, good looking, one of the in the top one third of best workers within the company.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they couldn't find a way to use them. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, how could you find a way to use somebody like that?
Well, what I was wondering, because I meant to ask you this earlier, but I didn't know, is reads almost like a who's who in terms of all around wrestling. Is Mo? You were actually you and David Hart Smith. Going to be on a double date with John Paramarini and Wade Keller later. Tell us what you really think about D.H. Smith. Come on.
Oh, I just did.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No.
It's like you can't. He has all these positives. Now, they say he doesn't have great charisma.
No,
he does not have a great promo.
He doesn't.
Well,
he
I'll say this. Wait. Okay. He's not a great promo.
Nope.
He's not.
Nope.
You can't read their scripted lines.
Nope.
But there's ways to use... Dean Malenko wasn't a great promo either. Neither was Chris Benoit. There was ways to use them to get them over.
Yeah, they were better promos.
I watched a match between Zack Ryder and D.H. Smith, and it was great. It reminded me of the... it was horrendous. He was tremendous as a babyface with babyface fire, and he showed the charisma in the match. It reminded me very much of the Dean Malenko versus Disco Inferno match. If you'll remember that from the serious stone face guy versus
from Uncensored, I believe,
it was. It was a great match that they had.
I do remember that. Yeah.
For the Cruiserweight title all those years ago.
That's right.
Reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this. I'm going. You don't know how to use them. Now I'm not saying he can't cut the normal promos the way they look at it, but you watch this match, you'll see where he has the charisma. And he does have it. They just don't know how to tap into it.
I'll be honest.
I'll say this. They have spent so long telling him that you're not good at this and you're not good at this and don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That they never say, by the way, you're good at this, do this. This is your strength. You're good at this. This is what you should do. It's always beating the guy down to the point where he feels like he has nothing left. And that's what happened with him. That's what happened to Masters the first time. Not so much this time. This time he actually improved. But that happened to Masters the first time.
Well, the release of DH, clearly, I mean, the writing was on the wall with this. I mean, when was the last time that he was on television outside of that one, lumberjack?
The cowboy.
What?
Oh, the cowboy hat.
Yeah, the cowboy hat, the lumberjack spot there when he was wearing the cowboy hat, and neither one of us at first knew who that even was. And, I mean, so it's something that, not surprising. To be all kidding aside, to be perfectly honest, I mean, D.H. Smith, Harry Smith, is his father. And that's a good thing. In that, Davy Boy couldn't cut a promo. Davy Boy, that you talk about the fire that he had when he was going back with Zack Ryder and showing that fire. You know, Davy Boy had that fire in the ring.
Yeah,
he would show that fire, and when I'd see him, the limited opportunity that we even get to see D.H. Smith, that's exactly what he reminded me of was the British
Bulldog. Absolutely.
And that's something that, as I said, unfortunately is just a shame that, you know, he's not going to be able to. Again, to me, makes a
it comes back to something you said in the one of our very first episodes. And I think I've referenced it here again today earlier, but I'll say it one more time. It's something you said, and you're not right often, but you are here. They don't know how to use the gifts they're given.
Right. And that's just it, is that, you know, is rather than turning him into something, you know, let him be what he is, or utilize what he is. I mean, it's the Paul Heyman quote, right, of the, you know, accentuate the positives and hide the weaknesses. Can't cut a promo? Fuck, okay, don't let him talk. You know what?
Okay, well, okay, or don't let him talk because he can't cut a promo, or do what I suggested in a blog a long time ago. Just let him tell his story. A guy who watched his father die early from steroids, who has seen horrific abuse in his household of his father, who he still loves though and respects, who is trying to overcome a lot of tragedy in his life and his family, mm-hmm. that loves the industry and will do anything for it, and this is all he's ever wanted to be, and highlight that this is who he is, because that's an interesting story he has. So give it to us.
Well, he does have a different story. I mean, we're talking about Justin Gabriel going back and doing those things. I mean, there's and Andy Levine living by the crack house. I mean, there's nothing.
Those
that
Andy
shows.
Levine living by the crack house. That was fantastic.
Yeah, but
that was so good because it wasn't scripted. It was so obviously real. It was great. It really got me into the character. I wish he was ready for the ring.
But I mean, it's something that, yeah. I mean, there's no reason where you couldn't do that. And I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. In terms of
he's going to Japan.
I mean,
according to his Facebook.
Okay.
According to his Facebook, he's off to Japan.
Which is fine. I mean, and he'll do very well there because of his dad. I mean, and they're a lot more respectful of.
Well, the problem is Japan is really, the industry is really, really down there.
Oh, it is.
But I don't believe he's going to go to TNA because I think he wants to come back to the. He will be brought back by the WWE. I have 100% sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, as you said, he just turned 25. I mean, I think but I mean, again. Yeah, he'll be brought back. But
that said, I was sure that Rene Dupree would be brought back someday, and he hasn't either. And then he's like 27, 28 now.
Well, an A-Train
and similar, and a very similar story. But Dupree, though, is a second generation wrestler who started wrestling when he was like 14, who was not ready when he was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't ready in the ring, but he had more personality. But I see again, it's a similar story, and he's never been back. But then also, I'll say this though, if there was tag teams, if there was a strong tag team division where these guys could be on TV, and hell, even if there isn't one, just put these guys on TV, not on superstars, but put them on. We talked about this, rotate them on and off because they're regular on TV and have a chance to get over and a chance to develop their characters and personality. But if there was a strong tag team division and these people were able to develop, how much farther along would they be and how many of these people would be released?
Well, yeah, that's right, because they would have a role, and they don't have a role.
Have
and
a
that's
role.
As I said. I mean, D.H. Smith, I mean, I wrote a blog of you know, months ago. Or
five guys who you may not know that WWE still has.
Exactly, and you know, and there goes one of them. So, I mean.
Was Masters not in there?
Masters wasn't in there, no. It was.
Tyler Rex.
Tyler Rex, Primo.
Who's Primo, yeah.
And JTG.
Both of who've got to be worried. JTG.
Yeah.
So all those guys got to be worried. JTG was finally on SmackDown this week, but all those guys got to be worried. We talk about more cuts coming.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys are among the. You got to be thinking of Yoshitatsu.
Well,
you got to thinking they could be on the chopping block. Even guys like the Usos, who you see are on now, and get that entrance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I feel safe.
See,
you know?
With Tatsu, I think he gets because he's Japanese, and he's their Japanese guy. So I mean, you get that, but. And I think the Usos
that's
probably
true.
Say, but if you're going to trim the fat, I think you're looking right now at like you said, like at Primo, like at JTG, Tyler Rex, who else? Trent Beretta, you know, Kurt Hawkins, you know, those guys. Like Kurt Hawkins, to me, hasn't been on TV, and you know, so he's in the, you know, I don't know that he's been on. I think DH might have been on TV before him. So I mean.
Exactly. You talk about this, and here's another point. We're talking about these guys and who's next on that chopping block. All those guys you just mentioned, I see potential and talent in. You know, just have to be used. But all these guys, they have something for them. Not only that, But we're talking about the guys that were just released, and outside of Kozlov, and I guess Gail, and we still have yet to get to Molina, but we will.
Yeah.
And outside of but you look at them and you look at that list you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the young people. We keep on talking about they need new young stars. They need that next generation. They're not developing those guys. We're talking about people with Masters 25, DH 25. You talk about a Primo. I think he's like 26. You know, all these people. You talk about a Tyler Rex. He's like 27. You know, something like that. 26, 27. We're talking about JTG. Even is like 28, 27, something like that. Again, in that range. We're talking about people in their 20s, and this is a company that needs that next generation. Developmental has failed, and these are the people on the chopping block.
Well, developmental, though. I mean, again, right now, developmental has failed, and I mean, they've recognized that developmental's failed, though, and developmental is going through some
changes.
That's
why Hunter's taking over and doing such a great job.
Well, okay, because that's how that works, Mo. Yeah, and, hey, guess what? Mo, you're now the head of talent relations today. Fuck, you've done a shitty job. Guess what? 3 months from now, you've done a shitty job, Mo. You haven't hired anybody that's become a star. Fuck. Now
I'm not talking about hiring.
You've got
you talk about changes coming?
You've got these guys now that are working under Triple H that are directly going to him now. And that's happened within the last, say, 3 weeks, that these three guys are now reporting directly to Triple H regarding the talent. They're holding open tryouts when they're in California by invitation. I shouldn't say open tryouts, but by invitation only before all their shows. They're trying out about 30 to 40 guys to try to get them into the developmental process. This shit is going to work. It's just going to take time.
No, it's not. I'll say this, okay? Yeah, they can recruit
Captain
a better level of athletes or
right
recruit
ahead.
A better level of potential. Okay, you're talking about that. They can recruit a better level of athlete or potential. As long as FCW, though, is actually the training center and the way that they're doing it doesn't change, and this is what they haven't come and done. Triple H hasn't come out there and said at a conference call for his investors, here is my 6 week, 6 month, 6 year plan. Here is me laying out what I want to do for developmental. Until I see that, I don't know that it's going to work.
Yeah, okay. So you're never going to know.
I don't know that it isn't.
Guess what, Mo?
I don't know that it is, though.
Guess what, Mo? You're not entitled to that shit. So fuck you.
Because investors are.
No, they're not.
That's what I said. Yes,
no,
they are.
No, they are. Fuck you. Are you an investor, Mo?
Yes, they are. And here's why I am as well.
Oh, good.
Because as people who are fans of this company, who have supported it,
right,
and have seen them fuck it up,
mm-hmm,
you need to make a good faith investment in me.
Yeah, no, they need to tell
if
you.
If you want me to continue to follow you and continue to spend money,
you
should be doing that because you've hurt this already
you
with your fan base.
The arrogance that you have about it makes me giggle because the fact is that there will be a plan in place that comes out that Hunter has got to lay out, and Hunter has got to lay that out to Vince McMahon and the board of directors. And that's his responsibility, and that's his role.
I would agree with that. Yeah, that is his responsibility. And things. But I'm saying
his responsibility isn't for him to come out on a conference call and lay out his plan. When you listen to these conference calls in any corporation, it's high level shit. Okay, they're not going to get into the specific, huh?
Oh, there's so much bullshit in these, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to do. They're gonna lay out the high level. Well, I'll give you the WWE equivalent example.
But what makes you think Hunter's smart enough to pull this off?
What
have you seen from him?
There's nothing that tells me that he is or isn't. The fact is that they're starting.
I'll tell you, there is one thing, and this is one thing that CM Punk said that was right. The one thing that CM Punk said that I agree with was how many times have you been lying in bed and said, well, I don't know, he just doesn't have it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that mentality doesn't make me think that Hunter's going to turn it around. I'm not saying he isn't, but I'm saying I don't have faith that he is either.
Well, the thing is that, I'm taking the wait-and-see attitude, because if they're going to make a change, then they're going to make a change, and that's what they're doing. They're making this change. And so when they're talking about the developmental process and it being in Florida, it may very well not be in Florida. You're right. Right now, Florida does not work worth a shit. No, who's come out of Florida that outside of Wade Barrett, who they've pushed back a bit, has been, you know, any sort of recognizable name that wasn't a name before. You know, your Daniel Bryan, and like a Sheamus came out of Florida too. So there you go, okay. So you got
Sheamus, but even Sheamus wrestled for like 8 years beforehand.
He did well, so did Wade Barrett, right? I mean, so
they haven't
created anybody in Florida, right? So you're right. I mean, that needs to change. But again, now this is new to Hunter to take over, and it's, again, it's marathon, not a sprint here when it comes to them doing it. And you, all I'm saying is we will sit back a year from now and be able to judge it a little bit better. But we can't
agree with that.
We're not even going to be able to sit back in 2 months from now and probably judge it any better, because these things take time. There's a lot of fucking red tape that goes on with this shit when you want to make a change. And they're starting to make this change. They announced at the last conference call in May that Hunter's new role was this officially become the talent relation or the developmental, that he was in charge of this, right? And so, and just 2 weeks ago, they've announced that the people that were previously reporting to John Laurinaitis to regarding the developmental, now report to Triple H. So he was in charge of the operation in terms of the title, but the people didn't actually, he weren't technically their bosses until recently. And that's because it takes a hell of a lot of HR work to change that shit. And so now that's happened. And when they go to make another change, it's going to take a hell of a lot of time to make another change. They sound simple, but they're not.
You're right. I'm probably not being patient enough with this, but I just, my overall frustration level at the company is just so high.
Well, I understand
that. That's really what it comes to.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I do see, like I said, I do see the people being released being so young, and it does make me worry, because I don't know.
It makes me worry, too, as to, like you said, I mean, why couldn't you, and I mean, with Masters, it's a little bit of a different story, but the thing that kind of made me giggle about D.H. Smith is that he didn't go to Florida. They didn't have him on TV.
Like he hasn't been on TV.
He learned MMA.
And not only that, but Josh Barnett says that he would be an incredibly good MMA performer or fighter. That he has tremendous potential.
Josh Barnett said that, eh?
Josh Barnett said that, yes. Because that's who he trains with, actually.
Good. Well, that explains the wellness violation.
Very nice, very nice.
Let's get to Molina.
Well, I just want to say this. Last time D.H. Smith was even on Superstars, do you know how long ago that was?
1964.
April 28th.
Yeah.
So, it's one thing to not be used on Raw. You're not being used on Superstars.
When I said in April and not going to developmental, as I said, just sitting at home.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Like, it didn't, I mean, no sense. The reality
I'm sure
is
he's happy to be released. At the end of the day, I'm sure to some degree he's happy to be released.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, if he's got a little bit of some earning potential in Japan, or as I said, and you're right, I think you're right that he will come back. It's just a matter of, will that matter? And again,
will he be a Chris Masters? Whole other issue.
And it's a whole different company when he comes back, and, you know, just as it was between the times that Chris Masters was around. I mean, so we'll wait and see. I mean, who knows?
We'll wait and see.
He's going to come back. Now let's go to Molina. Person most upset about this release, my brother.
John Morrison.
My brother. Your
brother?
My brother.
Oh, is that bad?
Because now he's got competition.
Oh, yes, at the Olympics.
At the Olympics. So, but, I mean, let's throw this out there about being upset. Let's talk about being upset. I mean, three of these five people, what does Bret Hart think?
I don't know.
I mean, but Bret Hart, a big Gail Kim fan.
Yeah.
D.H. Smith. You know, blood relation, and Molina, who he said was the best women's worker in the company.
Actually, I think he said she was the best worker in the company.
He was a huge fan, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's three of those five that Bret Hart was really big on. that they've...
well, this is once again the... we talk about how we wish he had a role within the company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he had a regular ongoing role within the company, he could have saved these people and found a way to use them.
Well,
and
he would have saved...
If Bret Hart knows... I'll say this. Bret Hart knows a little bit about wrestling.
Yeah.
So if Bret Hart sees something in these people, maybe they have something. That doesn't fucking matter at the end of the day, does it? They're all released. Melina, though, seemed to me like she was unhappy and she wanted out, and yet as soon as she's out, she seems unhappy that she's out. So it's a little strange, you know what I mean? I think it'll be good for John Morrison.
Yeah, I will, for sure. It'll definitely be great for John Morrison.
And at the end of the day, I care more about John Morrison than I do about Melina because I see no potential in her and I see potential in Morrison.
At the end of the day, I care more about John Morrison's fur coat than I care about Melina.
Yeah, exactly.
I care more about Mark Haskins than I care about Melina.
Yeah, and speaking of which, like I said, I think she's very likely to end up in TNA if she wishes to continue performing. The only reason she won't is because she doesn't want to in any way damage John Morrison's career, and she wants to come back. But she's not coming back anyways. She's done. She and her man face can go now and go back to doing whatever the hell else she wants to do. As far as I'm concerned.
Go to Sky Bar.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You can't do the things she's doing on Twitter and then act surprised that they don't want you.
They haven't wanted her for a while. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when was the last
time? And I don't blame her for being upset if she believes that she has talent and she's not being used and she's bitching about it and has a bad attitude from that perspective. I don't blame her for that.
You get into the Trish Stratus we talk about, right, with the WrestleMania.
Okay, I was just going to say, you talk about Bret Hart. Let me tell you, Tyson Kidd and Natalya, I'm sure they're not happy. DHS was released. Not once did they bring it up on their Twitter. They're good little soldiers, and that's the way you have to go about it in the WWE.
Well, yeah, because they're not morons.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, I mean, Melina and I mean, Gail Kim. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, that's just, Gail Kim wanted to be let go. I mean, you could tell, because, I mean, no one goes on there and says that stuff and doesn't want to be let go. And then, of course, for Melina, of course, yeah, to be, just basically a bitch about, you know, all about the company, and then bitch again about the fact that, that she was not used. Well, you know what? What the fuck did you expect? Like, let's be honest here. I mean, and when was the last time she was used in any kind of role at all? I mean, she's
last
been
time
in
I
some
think
of these.
She had a last, I mean, at SummerSlam, I remember last year she came back in that Pocahontas-looking outfit at SummerSlam last year.
Yeah.
She returned and got the belt right away. That's the last time she had any sort of role that I can recall. And
yeah.
Again, that didn't get over either.
No.
People made fun of her for that. So that's basically it. So
I think that was
it. She turned heel. Nobody gave a fuck. And whatever.
Yeah. And that was it. So... All right, well, we're coming up on the 2-hour mark. Is there anything else that should we hit a little bit? I mean, the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, probably as you listen.
You watched Impact this week. I did not. Anything you just quickly want to run down on that?
You know what? It wasn't a bad show. Nothing really offended me. It was just, you know,
which is, if nothing offends you on Impact, that's a win.
Well, for them, it was a win. I mean, you had some... Bubber. I mean, there's always stuff that, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, like, Madison Rain is fighting Miss Tessmacher, okay? And the best part about that was that they showed Miss Tessmacher warming up before the match backstage, which was nice. But Mickie James does commentary. The pay-per-view's on today, and neither one of these people is the person that Mickie James is fighting. So after the match, Madison starts to beat up Tessmacher, and Mickey goes to make the save, gets hit by Angelina Love, also not the person she's fighting at the fucking pay-per-view. And now comes Winter to, at least Angelina is Winter's friend, so that okay, Dave. But, I mean, so you had that. You had the Bound for Glory match with AJ and D-Von, and Hope comes out and hangs out with D-Von's family to distract D-Von, but instead... Also, then Christopher Daniels comes out and sits down and watches AJ's match, and AJ's like, what are you doing here, man? What are you doing? And he's all distracted, and it's like, he's your fucking friend. It's not like Devon and the Pope, who Devon hates the Pope, these are friends. So your friends out there, and, like, if my friend comes down to ringside, I'm going, oh, good, he's there to watch, I'm just going to do, but, I mean, I'm not going to be like, why the fuck are you out here to get distracted and pinned, and then they can argue.
What if it was me?
Oh, fuck. Well, I said friend. But it was, you know, it's just one of those stupid things. And then, you know, you had a good thing with Bubba Ray, and there. People were raving about Austin Aries and Alex Shelley match. I hated it, because to me, that was your ultimate spot. Like, they were setting up the next spot every time.
I hate that,
and
that's the
whole match to me was just, they're going to set
Shelley,
up the next
spot. I find that in a lot of Shelley matches, which is a shame, because he has so much potential. But,
well, yeah. And so,
I find he's one of the worst in the world for that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I didn't like about it, but I mean, other than that,
that's what I didn't like about that.
And then it's Sting, Kurt Angle at the end doing the commentary. I will say about Kurt Angle, because I haven't seen a lot of TNA lately. With Kurt Angle, and
he looks different,
you mentioned
he?
It last, and he sounds different.
He does.
He doesn't have that gravelly voice. He sounds like a normal fucking person.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, he looks probably the healthiest he's been since we've even seen him on television. Like, going all the way back to 98. Like, that, he looks great there. And,
old, but great.
Yeah, but great. And then Sting comes out and with sunglasses and the Joker paint to be Jack Nicholson. He even does the mouth like Nicholson. He gets his mouth shaped like Jack Nicholson now. But then he cuts a regular promo. He doesn't do the Joker shit. He cuts a regular promo. And it was good. You know, this mutual respect thing, but they were great promos. But again, to me, the fact is he went and cut a great promo as serious old school Sting.
Yeah.
And it was a good money drawing promo in terms of what they, you know, I mean, like, I won't draw any money because it's fucking TNA, but I mean, in terms of getting people about the match, talking about the match, and getting people sort of, this is why we should be having this match, and we respect each other, and blah, 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 right? Great promo, great delivery. But it also proves that it was done not in his fucking Joker character.
So yeah, which proves that that character
sucks.
Yeah.
You know, the court has run out on that. And that brings me to fucking Dixie Carter here. Okay, we're going to end the show with the Hulk Hogan bullshit as the week we all do, but I want to fucking Dixie Carter. Okay?
Yeah, before we do that, then, I just want to mention one thing, because I just want your opinion on this. Okay, are we going to actually run down the card for Hardcore Justice?
No, we're not.
No?
No, I don't care.
No, we're not.
Do you care?
How about Samoa Joe having minus 10 points in Bound for Glory Series?
Remember I talked about that? I said in a different situation, it was their pay-per-view or whatever a couple months ago, when I said this is what's going to happen, and they waited a little while to do it, but now he's got minus 10 points, and then he cuts this promo trying to be the new CM Punk backstage where it wasn't as good, and that now the blood is going to run. Well, you're just a loser, Punk. Joe. You are a loser. And so,
and it's not your fault, though. You're a loser because of these other people. And I always said this to you about Punk. I was like, wait, they're going to try and do this, too, because they don't understand why it is when they're cutting reality promos, it doesn't get over, whereas when WWE does, it does get over. So they're going to try and do it, too, and not to fuck it up. And you know what? They did it with Joe, and they, guess what?
Yeah, and they fucked it up. I mean, it's because he lost 10 points because he won the match, and then he didn't release the hold. And somehow that's someone else's fault. It has to do with the people. Now it's a shoot because they made him lose that match because it's all a work, brother. But, I mean, it was just stupid. It was just stupid.
Yeah.
And I mean, Joe is done. Joe's done.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
There's got to be a storyline to this, but I don't see any positive or upside or where they're going with it.
He'll get kidnapped in a van, and it'll be done. But
yeah,
it's just stupid. But anyway.
The face paint will be great. Can't wait for those new tights.
Dixie fucking Carter. Okay? She's glowing backstage to everybody that will listen about how Sting has reinvented him, how great it is that Sting has reinvented himself at this point in his career. And that the dressing room needs to learn from Sting.
Uh-huh.
Who the fuck is Dixie Carter? And we know who the fuck Dixie Carter is by her fucking testimony to Congress, to be telling anybody about anything to do with wrestling. Okay?
That's what I was just about to say to you, is who gives a shit what this woman's saying The woman doesn't know or understand wrestling.
It's like,
I mean, just because she runs a wrestling company and has all this say in wrestling doesn't mean she knows what the fuck it is.
Her parents,
or how it works, or what is good about a character, what draws money, or why people watch or anything. She's
her parents own a wrestling company. She does not run a wrestling company. Her parents own a wrestling company. And you know what?
No, she just fucks up a wrestling company.
I just
want
to know, my first thought was, I am going to go ask the Nigerian investors of Joe Pedicino what they think about Sting's characters, because then I can hear from all the money marks.
That's so obscure, but that was great.
Like, oh my god, that was, I heard that and it just made my blood, like, who the fuck are you? Like, okay, let me go ask, I'm just trying to even think of anybody that I could, maybe I'll go ask the guys from, the other promotion that's out of business there, WCW. Let me go ask Dr. Harvey Schiller what he thinks about Sting's career too. That would be great, because that probably actually holds a lot more fucking weight. So, I mean, yeah, I just had to mention that because pay per view is
doing his best with that character. Like I say, he loves doing it. He's doing his best with it. He performs it good. That doesn't mean it's a money character.
Well, that's
it's not.
It's not. No, it's not. And it was that. It was good at first, but it was one of those Perry Saturn Moppy, Eugene type deals that was good for a little bit, but then quickly fades out. So faded. So why don't we? You got the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week there?
Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week is pretty simple this week. You
so
want to join
time,
us?
So let's do it then. It's now time for the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
This week's Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. Hulk Hogan claims Hulk Hogan claims that he created the idea of ring entrance music.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
In Texas?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe that's where he created it.
Maybe
Was his name Kerry Von Erich in Texas?
Fritz Von Erich, maybe? Was that his name? Or no, who was
yeah.
the guy? Blanchard? Wasn't it Joe Blanchard? Was that the guy there? No. Or no, Mantell. Ken Mantell. Ken Mantell.
Wow. He's not, in fact, Hulk Hogan somehow.
No, apparently not. Who knew?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knew? Hulk Hogan didn't.
All right. Well, apparently. Let's wrap up then with, we've got, On if you go to Podomatic, there's a new show, We Talk Comics, which is hosted by Mo, but that's okay because there's another fellow by the name of Brett who's really good on the show that makes it worth listening.
Fuck you, Addy.
And, so it's a great show. We Talk Comics at Podomatic there, and you can reach Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com, Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com. WeTalkWrestling.com, of course, the website where all of our blogs and shows and archives and even iTunes information is all right there. So love to hear from you. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Twitter at WeTalkWrestling is how to get a hold of us. And I'm on I'm on the Twitter all the time there, and it's good. So all right, anything else to plug, Mo? Is that it? Did I get it all?
No, O-U-T.
All right, well, in the meantime then, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.